Here at TDSIG Developpod, we stand together with the people of the Ukraine. We stand with all oppressed, persecuted, and victimized people, wherever they may be around the world. Here at TDSIG Developpod, we are aware that we may have a small voice, but small voices together can form a very powerful chorus, and we make a wish for peace. So from that, welcome to this episode on classroom-based inquiry. I can refer you back to episode 18 on action research. Do pop back and listen to that. It's a great basis for listening to this episode. So in many ways, action-based research and classroom-based inquiry can be considered perhaps the same thing. Certainly, they have similarities. And today you're going to hear the stories from two teachers, Petra and Eliška, based in the Czech Republic. I think you'll find that they make very ingenious use of some very simple ideas to address issues in the classroom. First, around motivation, and secondly, around differentiation, how to accommodate different students in the classroom. Without further ado, over to the interview. Welcome to Petra and Eliška, two wonderful teachers who I originally met last year in a school in Brighton. We were doing a course together. Welcome, Petra, and welcome, Eliška.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks. Nice to have you both in the virtual studio, as it were. So, Petra, can you tell us where you're based and what you do exactly?
So, I'm a primary school teacher. I'm from the Czech Republic, and I teach at primary school in Brno, which is the second largest city of the Czech Republic. My students are between 7 and 12 years old. I teach in 7 different classes, and in my students' groups, there are about 13 children.
So you have about 13 in each class? Okay, wonderful. And Eliška, how about you? Where do you teach and what's your teaching context?
I teach in the same city as Petra, but I teach in the city center. Our school is in a city center. It's quite a big school. My class is, well, for the English lessons, it's about 16 children between the age 7 and 8. And they are quite young. Most of them started learning English last year, so it's still quite new for them.
Okay, wonderful. So you're both primary school teachers in the Czech Republic. Petra more on the outskirts of the city, closer to the countryside, and Eliška in the city centre. And you both came to Brighton in the UK to do a course which looked at how to integrate English language teaching into the primary school curriculum, am I right?
Yes.
And you were asked within that course to do a research project, a simple classroom-based inquiry, exploratory research, which was named the SPRE, the SPRE Research Project. Now, just for the benefit of the listeners, let me just review what SPRE means. So S was the situation. So explore what you do in the school, who you teach, the context, and Petra and Eliška were asked to present that. Then they were asked to present the P, the puzzle. So some clear focus question which they would like answered, something that's been puzzling them, maybe a problem, a question, essentially a research question. And then the R is the response, so what they did in the classroom to try and answer that question, how they experimented. And the E is the evaluation, so what they observed, what they found out from the monitoring of their research. So basically, was it successful, this little change that they'd made in response to the puzzle? Okay, so let's go back to Eliška. Could you perhaps tell us a little bit about your puzzle? What puzzle did you choose? I believe it was connected to puppets, right?
Yes, it was. My puzzle was how to use puppets to support pupils to speak English without worrying about making mistakes.
Great. Why did you have this puzzle in the first place? Give us a little more context. Why are pupils worried about making mistakes?
Well, as I've said before, This is the second year of English for most of my pupils. And during the first year, they learned first words. They tried to understand my instructions, and they were used to repeating English sentences, but still the first language was Czech for us because understanding wasn't easy for them. And now I wanted to make them speak English. I wanted them to try to make their own sentences.
Okay, so up until this point, they'd largely learned single words and you wanted them to use it more spontaneously. And it was there that their maybe confidence issues set in, their effective filter, if you like. And maybe they were reluctant, some of them. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
Okay.
And speaking Czech is easier for them.
Sure.
So they would choose the easiest way.
Okay. So why did you choose puppets then as a tool?
I think that with 7 or 8 year olds, it's something that is close to their age. They are used to playing. They love anything that is soft. There was one puppet that came with the textbooks we use. So I thought I might use the parrot I had in my class.
Great. So this is essentially your response. What did you do with your puppet or puppets? Can you describe the response?
The parrot is called Norton. So I introduced Norton as an English parrot who can't speak Czech. He doesn't understand. So even if Norton asks the children a question they don't understand, and I need to explain in Czech, I plug his ears so that he can't hear that I'm speaking Czech, because he doesn't like it. We are just trying not to speak Czech.
Oh.
And so when the children take Norton and they want to have him because it's fun, they need to speak English. But still, the fact that they want to have the puppet is stronger, and then they forget about their worries.
And do they ask in English or can they ask in Czech?
You mean ask Norton?
Ask to use the puppets, yeah.
To use the puppet. They just say, I want it, or me.
Okay.
But when we do an activity and I offer Norton so they can see, but I say it in English, but they can see that somebody is allowed to take him. So there's this non-verbal conversation.
Yeah. Wonderful. So would you say that you drew on a particular pedagogy or some research, or was this more from your teaching experience and perhaps even partly intuition that this would be successful, this strategy?
Well, I'm sure it's written somewhere how to use puppets and that it's great. But for me, it was more like intuition. But I must say it was easier than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Because I expected the children to want to have the puppet. But from my experience, the moment of speaking English is still for some children more difficult than the moment of having the toy. And in this group, you know, it was amazing for me to watch the children. And first, they just did the task they had, like a sentence or give instruction about what to draw or how to color the picture.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly they started to add their own sentences or change Norton's voice, which again helped them to forget they are actually speaking English.
So it sounds like the research that you did in the classroom was extremely successful. Is that fair to say? Would you want to comment any more on that?
It was very successful. With this group, well, maybe it wouldn't work with another group, mm-hmm. but here in this class, it's really amazing because what I see are children, well, what I remember when I was a student, and I knew that we are supposed to say something in English, I was always very nervous. And I knew, my turn is very close and I'll have to speak. And it made me very nervous. But here, the children, like when we sit on the rug in a circle and they know they can see Norton coming closer and closer, and they start smiling and they take him with a smile. You know, this positive affection and the positive feeling is really important, because I saw this last week, which was really great, that they start speaking English with a smile and with a joy. I've got Norton.
It's all credit to you and the atmosphere you've created and the strategy you've put in place, Eliska, because it could have gone the other way. They could have potentially been very nervous when Norton, the parrot, approached. Maybe they wouldn't have wanted to, you know, use the parrot to speak. So all credit to you and the atmosphere you've created. How have you evaluated the project? It sounds like you've been largely observing your own pupils whilst teaching them. And I believe that you observed another teacher. Is that right? Using the same technique?
Yes. There was a practicing teacher in my class. She was there for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I've just started using Norton. And she observed one of my lessons, and then she decided to use it in her lesson as well. And it was really great what the children did. Like, they started changing voices, and their response was really, I could see all I was talking about, the smiles, but they worked. They didn't lose the track of the lesson. They learned what they were supposed to learn. So it worked with another teacher as well.
Super. And can I ask you, have you observed on the level of each pupil? So, for example, have you observed whether all pupils are taking part? And if so, are they taking part more or less equally, or do some dominate?
Well, it varies. There's one girl who remembers English sentences very well. So when I start, Norton sleeps in a cupboard. So when I wake him up, he usually asks children how they are. And so we learn what to say. And then we did an activity and they took it in turns. And when this girl took Norton, and she was supposed to ask her neighbor, how old is she, or something like that. But first, she said, hi, how are you? Mm-hmm. So the other one had to say, I'm fine, thank you. And then she asked the question. So she tried to add something to the conversation to keep Norton for herself.
Mm-hmm. And to really practice her English and maybe show the others on some level that she could say that as well. Super, yeah. Super. So have you observed that any students, any pupils are not taking part, or any quiet, or are they all involved?
They are really all involved. All of them are looking forward to having Norton, even if they just say the sentence they are supposed to say and they don't add anything else. But they do take part, and they, I think they are motivated by Norton, by the puppet. But I don't know how long it will take to help this, but at least for the start, I think it's okay.
Yeah, it's early days, and maybe you'll need to tweak the strategy and maybe use a different puppet, or maybe not use puppets as they get a bit older, obviously. But it sounds like it's been a really successful research project, a very simple, imaginative, and very successful research project. Is that fair to say, Eliska?
Yes, yes, it is.
Well done indeed. It really warms my heart, actually, to hear about Norton the parrot and how you've used Norton in the classroom. Maybe I might suggest, if you want to take this forwards, then look at perhaps a little more rigorously how much each student takes part using Norton, and how they could be encouraged to share the time more equally if it's not equal. But it sounds like they're all taking part, which is a great achievement in itself. So Petra, I just wanted to give you the opportunity to comment on that, on what you heard Eliska say.
I'm really happy that it was successful and that children enjoyed this activity. because sometimes teachers, we have nice activities or we think it's a really great activity and some children don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really good to hear this.
Super. Have you ever used puppets yourself in the classroom?
Yes, I like using puppets, but just for a few activities, like, I don't know, some simple sentences. So maybe I will try to use them more.
Okay. So Petra, let's ask you about your research project. Tell us about the puzzle that you identified, i.e. your research question.
We solve many different puzzles every day. So I wanted to choose something particular. My puzzle was how to help gifted child to evolve and make lessons interesting and effective for him when he finds the lesson easy.
So would you mind giving us just some brief background? Why did you choose this particular puzzle? Who was the gifted child and why was this an issue?
In one group, I have a boy, and the boy is 10 years old. He is very good at English. He's very good at speaking English and reading English. He sometimes has problem with writing, but still he is much better in English than his classmates. So sometimes we have a new topic and I don't know, the third lesson we do the same topic, but he already knows it, and I don't want him to be bored. So I want to give him more activities to do and still be in touch with language and maybe give him an opportunity to progress.
So you wanted to keep him engaged, this learner, maybe offer him a little extra challenge, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Can I just ask, why was this child's English so good? Did he come from a bilingual background, or was he just terribly smart, or did his parents hothouse him? Do you know the background there?
Yeah, that's quite interesting for me, because his mother told me she can't speak English at all. He has got an older brother who can speak English. So maybe he helped him. His mother told me he just enjoys to read English books. And she told me that she can't speak English, but she tries to support him. So she helps him with some, I don't know, in English, is it application in your mobile phone?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So she gave him an opportunity to use his mobile phone.
So it sounds like he's getting a lot of guidance from his mother, but he's also very self-sufficient. He's very motivated. Okay. So what was your response within your classroom? What did you do? How did you respond to that puzzle?
At first, I asked him to pick an English book. And when he finds something really easy, he can pick the book and read it. And this year, we also started to use some English magazines. Mm-hmm. And these magazines are really simple. There is English, there are some crosswords, some stories, and it is very nice. And I think it's quite simple for him because he can already read books in English. So I ordered one magazine for him, which is for older children, and he can use the magazine too. And I think it's really good for him because he can pick it up and read it. And there are also some activities, some extra worksheets. Mm-hmm. So he can pick an article. Then I give him a worksheet. Also, I have solutions for him, so he can fill it up and then check it. So it's also quite easy for me because he can make progress and I can focus on other children too.
Wonderful. So it sounds like you've made him very much responsible and in control of his own learning. He's becoming an autonomous learner if he wasn't already. And you've given him the tools to not only extend his own learning when he's finding it easy, but to manage when and how he does that to a large extent. So what have you observed? Have you observed that your response, i.e. providing these extra resources in the form of magazines, have you found that that's been successful?
I think we are still in progress. Sometimes I feel it's really good. Sometimes I want him to do more activities with us. So I think it's really successful.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I know he enjoys to work alone, not in group, not in pair. And at school, I also work with working in pairs. We use group work,
mm-hmm.
Solving problems. So sometimes he wants to read and I tell him not to read, but to join his classmates.
Mm-hmm.
So I know sometimes it's still in progress, but I think it will be better and better. I still learn and he still learns. So.
If I may, it sounds like you're guiding him in a very ingenious way to extend his own learning and to be autonomous, as I said before. I do wonder whether it might be wise to think more about your objectives. Is it to increase his learning and what kind of learning? Or is it to encourage, for example, something else, such as communication with other children and social interaction? Because it sounds like you want to do the two things, right? And those two things may or may not be compatible. So sometimes you might need to decide that the aim is X, Y, and Z cognitive learning. And sometimes you might need to decide it is more about confidence building, social interaction, and communication with others. So I would define your objectives more, if you like, the outcomes for him. Think that through well. Any comment on that?
I think it's a good point. You know, every lesson is different. Sometimes we do more speaking, sometimes we do more role playing, and sometimes we repeat something like...
Reinforce a lesson or revise maybe?
Yeah. So that's the time he can choose the reading or something like that.
Okay.
But... every lesson is different. Sometimes I want him to choose,
mm-hmm.
and improve his English on another way,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I want him to be more with other students, be more mm-hmm. part of the class. I don't want him to like to be divided.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, I understand. Yeah, to be separate from the others.
Separate. Yeah.
Do you think it would be possible, and if so, would it be worth making your rationale clearer to that bright student? So this student, maybe you could tell him, today we're doing this and I want you to do this because, or in this part of the lesson, I want you to do this because X, Y, and Z. Do you do that already perhaps? And if not, do you think that might be useful?
I think it may be useful, yeah. Every single lesson, we say hello with students and I tell them what are we going to do. So they already knew the character of the lesson or the direction of the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting idea to say, the boy, today I need you to try this or to try this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do this before.
Maybe he's just at that age, especially if he's bright, then he will understand that there is a certain, not only theme, but an aim for the lesson. And then he may buy into your objectives a little more easily. Yeah. But I would start by being super clear if you're not already, with your own objectives or the outcomes of the lesson. So yeah, really interesting. How will you know if it's been successful, Petra, this research?
In the end of the lesson, we have a little talk. I ask him what did he read, if there was a new word or something interesting. And I ask him to tell me something new he learned. So I ask him if it was easy or difficult for him. So we have this little talks.
Okay. And am I right in saying that if this student has learned a significant amount, then you think the tool of using the magazine, you think this tool is effective? Is that right?
I think so.
Okay. All right. Super. And how will you monitor this research project into the future?
Now it's half of the school year, and I started to use this technique, but I started to use it like 7-8 weeks ago, and I want to use it until the end of the year, and then I will see. There is a possibility next year he can learn English with older students, so maybe I will help him to be part of another group, and maybe he can speak English more and he can learn some new things there. And this year I will try to continue with this project and try to improve it.
Sounds very interesting. Thank you, Petra. Any comments or questions, Eliska?
Well, I think it's great that the boy has this opportunity to improve his English, because I think it happens that the teacher is not willing to improve the English of the students who speak better than the others. I would like to ask about the other children. What's their attitude to this boy? If they envy him that he can do something different, or whether he motivates the others to improve their English so that they can have their magazine as well?
Good question.
In the class or in the group, there are 13 children, and I really like the class. It's really good atmosphere there, and it is absolutely okay for them that the boy has another kind of magazine, because they also have a magazine. Their magazines are more like magazines for children with pictures, fairy tales, and short stories. And they really like that magazine.
So they're not envious, basically, because they've got their own magazine and they're interested in it. So wonderful. My question, I suppose, and I'm not sure exactly how to phrase it, I'm wondering if you have any intuition about the origin of this child's giftedness.
I'm really not sure. I'm a teacher for 5 years and I have never met someone like him. So it's quite interesting for me. He has always been different.
It sounds like he's a very much an intrapersonal learner, yeah, as opposed to an interpersonal learner. Now, it's dangerous to put people in boxes like this because people can be both and they can learn to be the other, right? But at the moment, it sounds like he's very much an intrapersonal learner, if you know what I mean.
I know. I asked his teacher and she told me that he's not very good at other subjects. He's like he's quite good, but not very good, like gifted in Czech language or maths. So I think he's very gifted in English, but maybe not other subjects.
Okay, yeah. Maybe he's just particularly motivated and for whatever reason loves English and is gifted. And maybe that's why he's motivated. Who knows? Because he is gifted.
Yeah, yeah.
So fascinating to hear. Thank you, Petra. Look forward to hearing how both of your research projects continue. So thanks so much again for joining us, both of you, Eliška and Petra. Good luck in your respective primary school classrooms in Brno in the Czech Republic.
Thank you.
It really is nice to see you both. And thank you so much for your time. Bye, Eliška. Bye, Petra. Thanks so much.
It was great to see you too.
It was nice to see you.
Bye.
Bye.